Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 83 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to be talking about more 915 stuff, but also some data mining about potential re-release of the Mage Tower. One of the most like popular pieces of solo content ever produced. There's been a bunch of data mining that indicates it might be coming back. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into all of that fun stuff, how is Sylvanas going, Anom?
It's fun. I think it's a lot of phase one right now for us. We finally made a couple of pushes late on our Thursday raid, so our second raid of the week. Probably in the last like hour and a half, 2 hours of that raid, made some pushes into phase two and started to see some of the platforms there. But yeah. A lot of phase one, spending a lot of time there. So it's
phase one, no joke.
Yeah, it's draining. It's it's weird. We are wiping to like at this point we're just wiping to people making like minor mistakes, and unfortunately it's just like those. It's another like.
Stuff like melee walking into an arrow and triggering calamity.
Yeah, we've seen that. We've had actually, it's more people, like some people getting clipped by Veil, like the wrong people getting chained. It's funny, ultimately the worst part for us is the final set of like arrows, daggers, like right before you hit the like intermission. Like that area, just like people lose their head about like dodging the desecrating shots on the ground, and like sentinels are running everywhere. So we've got to clean that up, I'd say. But no, it's been, I mean, to be fair, it's, I don't know, it's the last boss. I think it's okay so far. A lot of my guild's not exactly excited to be progressing, but I think the fight's fine.
Kind of like phase one on Mythic. So for us, we are actually, it sounds like kind of at a similar point. We are not quite as far. We've technically made it into phase two, but it's very technically, because practically we've had like five people alive, and that, you know, you're not actually progressing phase two with five people alive. So we spent a lot of Friday working through. Friday was our first full night on it. We spent a lot of Friday working through positioning, getting stuff figured out with like the different baits, learning about how you can bait Sylvanas's position after she jumps for dropping the arrows. So like we knew about the Veil bait going in, but in my prep at least, I had missed the part where you can bait where she lands after she does her little dance for the domination arrows. So she jumps away from the raid, basically. So you have the raid positioned opposite of where you want her to go, and then she goes there. That means that you can use that to basically bait her to land near the arrows and get a bunch of extra damage because she's in range. So that was big. So we started reaching the point that I think we're going in, we're not going to be using potions anymore in phase one, because we, like, the damage check is we are doing too much damage. I need to do less so that we do not push her too early, like while we have 30 sentinels up.
Yeah, we're still potting on the pull. We also have that transition has been like, we've hit sometimes where like we're ahead, so we have to stop. And then other times we're like we have to push, like we're slightly behind. So yeah, I mean we did start to do in that transition is start the CC of the sentinels further away from the boss. That way, like there's no, chance of random AoE or anything like that getting triggered on the boss. So a little bit of like some adjustments there, but
I have a question for you. Where is Sylvanas positioned when you're doing the last set of sentinels?
So she is between the two arrow spawns. So for us, we've positioned her like those two arrows that spawn, and then at least for our stack
the
point,
third set of domination arrows that you do.
So she's basically almost right in the middle of that. So we run out to the far side of the room, drop the sentinel. Sentinels come in, we can cleave the arrows and her. And then generally our bait point for the intermission is like right by one of those arrow spawns.
Okay. So yeah, that's the same setup that we have. And we were having some discussion about like whether we should try and push her more into the center of the room so that she's closer to the sentinels and we can like start grouping them up sooner.
So we actually don't, so like our sentinel spawns, we realize that the damage drop off is like between 0 and 15 yards or 0 in the graphic, it's a ton. But like once you get beyond that 15 yards, like the 15 to 40 yard drop off isn't significant enough. So for us, we ended up basically having folks
closer.
We just pull arrows people closer, right? But we also run like I'll run a barrier there, and then basically both my monk cooldowns, so revival, and both my throughput stuff's there. So that's sort of how we've adjusted, not dropping everything further away, because we used to have people just book it as far away as they can. And what we found is that in certain cases, one of the people running out, as or like the second arrow drop would clip the third arrow, or would get clipped by the third arrow drop.
We've run into that too.
So yeah, basically people just be a little bit closer, and then use like either a gate to get back in, or like a movement, like a port or a blink or something like that. So
yeah,
depending on who you are. That's why we sort of adjusted it, at least getting sentinels closer. And then we also started CCing them further away from the boss in that set, so that there's not a lot of cleave, and it's become slightly more consistent. We did, it's funny, we missed the damage push on our last attempt of the night on Thursday. So that's a little heartbreaking, but yeah, I mean, we've seen phase two with everybody alive probably 5 or 6 times, and saw phase three once, but similar to your phase two look, it was like, I think 2 people are alive.
So
it was, wasn't a real phase three attempt, but I mean, phase two is actually a lot more enjoyable than I thought it would be. It's a lot more damage than I thought there would be, which
we
is-
had, so we're still doing heroic runs on off nights. We just replaced my co-tank, so I've got a new co-tank for this boss, which is fun. He's main swapping, so we're helping gear him up. We're doing like heroic play stacks basically to try and get him gear. And one of the raiders from the weekday team in our guild was complaining about how awful the heroic version of phase two is compared to the mythic version.
It's real bad. It's funny, it's one of the fights that I think really shows, the first time that I really saw it was like, they basically, that Blizzard designs a fight as a mythic version first, and then pull stuff away as you lower the difficulty, right? And like I think Sylvanas is like a very good example of them saying like, okay, like we created the mythic version, that's the version of the fight we think everybody should do, and then they're starting to pull stuff. You could see them like what they pulled off for heroic, and phase two heroic is like just god awful. Even phase one heroic, I feel like, is with the random arrow response. Also pretty bad. So it's a lot of.
I feel like it actually would have been a better and actually easier heroic fight if they had left phase one like the mythic version.
Yeah.
Where you've got the stacked arrow spawns, because then you can actually effectively bait things.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Maybe that wouldn't have been as easy for pugs. I don't know. I feel like it probably would have been, because you can't count on your average pug having a boomkin.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But it would have been a lot easier for us, because then, you know, you can actually control phase one and it's not just like veiling all over the place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Makes it a lot easier, and like resetting stacks and everything becomes easier too, you know, all across the board. But no, I mean, Sylvanas Prague going well. I mean, it's, we're about 80 pulls in, 85 pulls in, so it'll be a long one. But I feel like once we get through phase two pretty consistently, it's just phase three seems, well, not easy, seems like easier than like the first two. So we'll see though.
I'm not going to speculate about the difficulty of that phase.
That's fair.
Too far off. And also, from everything that I've seen, a lot of the difficulty of progressing phase three just comes from consistently getting through the first 10 minutes of the fight to see phase three in the first place.
Yeah, that's going to be the tough part. Those are going to be like the pulls where you're like, oh, we're perfect, and then one mistake heading into phase three, or even like early on in
your healer walks off the last bridge in phase two, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, we had a couple of those where people just like thought it was one pattern bridge, and it was the pattern where it's like the rock with the hole right in the center, and they just like walk right into it. Like our raid leader blinked and then ran, and then you just hear him like, here's like keyboard, there's death slam. It's like great.
Yeah. So. Oh man, those bridges, secretly one of the deadliest mechanics.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're super inconsistent. So but cool. But cool. Yeah, there we go. Any other notes on Sylvanas' progression wise?
No, I do think that it is a lot more fun on Mythic than it was on Heroic. I really did not like the Heroic version of the fight, but even just like doing the Mythic version is actually substantially better, even just in phase one.
Yeah, no, 100% agreed. 100% agreed. So, well, cool. So let's do, I guess we'll do a little bit of weekend review stuff. So a lot of this, since I think the topic of today is sort of talking about like the Mage Tower speculation and some other stuff there, we'll sort of mix in week in review some of the 915 updates that don't sort of pertain to that, along with some. There really wasn't much on live that happened. So I think the biggest thing that happened on live last week was just the they basically did a hot fix to now reset conduit energy every day. So every day you basically get 10 new conduit energy, which I'm assuming is their like quick and dirty fix. To get something.
This covers like 90% of use cases. Like, you have to swap conduits. You're swapping, when you swap conduits for different builds or whatever, you maybe swap three conduits. So you have to be swapping four times per day in order to hit the limit with the rate it's at right now. So this is a really, like, this covers 99.999, you know, percent of cases. You don't have to worry about conduit energy anymore. 915 comes out, it'll be completely gone, and that'll cover the last, you know, 0.0001% of cases. Yeah. So this is good.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, it's definitely was a nice, at least interim fix before we get sort of just the free swaps, you know, with 915. So so that's sort of a nice little live thing that they did. And then in terms of 915, they did, it seems like this might be their approach moving forward, but they did a big sort of week. It sounds like they're gonna hopefully start doing like weekly posts basically about what's changing, or at least what they're thinking about implementing on PCR, which is really nice. So we got a big post about a bunch of different things. So like, hey, here's some like class changes. They went over like some other item or other changes they're doing in terms of like,
there's so many quality of life changes in this. I want to go through a couple of them. Because some of them you have on the notes, like broken out, like the Torghast changes.
Yeah.
But so I guess first off, let's do the class changes that are relevant to Monk.
Yeah, which I think it was only the one, but Brewmaster, of course, their special delivery talent now deals 100% more damage. Which,
yeah.
Is that big? Good?
Well, it's complicated. The so special delivery with the damage buff, we need to make further adjustments to the APL and SimC to really know whether it's competitive. Because Rushing Jade Wind costing a GCD is actually an upside in a way, because it makes the APL easier to write, because that GCD is then free and you regenerate energy during it.
Gotcha.
Which makes the rest of the APL easier to implement. Special delivery does not, with the APL with Rushing Jade Wind, we don't worry about like using every single brew. We just have to worry about using them when it's going to benefit Invoke Niuzhao.
Gotcha.
With special delivery, we need to actually make sure we're using 100% of them all the time, and we need to make sure that we're not spending so much energy that we can't cast Keg Smash, stuff like that. So there's some more APL tweaks that we need to do in order to properly sim this. Preliminary numbers say it's actually going to be close to Rushing Jade Wind, maybe ahead of Rushing Jade Wind, so it may actually be a situation where you can pick the one you want.
Gotcha.
I definitely, like, if it's close, I will definitely be picking special delivery sometimes, because it's silly and I love it. but Rushing Jade Wind is also a talent that I've been playing with for literally half a decade now, and it's kind of ingrained in my mind. I just, like, Rushing Jade Wind is on the G key for me, so I just, like, press G to refresh it, like, habitually. We will see how that pans out, but we may be returning to something approximating Nighthold Brewmaster, where you run special delivery and you just like spam kegs all day because purifying brew CD is so low.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so I think that sounds like at least good in terms of like giving you guys some more variety and stuff like that from a talent perspective. And I guess too, special delivery is is this the one that like throws an extra keg, right? From like, or drops it from the sky?
Yeah, it drops it from the sky. So super silly, but like when you drink a brew, it throws a keg in the sky. 3 seconds later, it lands. Used to be that it basically fixed on the location of your target when you cast it.
Yeah.
So it would like pick your target. If your target moved out, it wouldn't hit anything. Which meant that it had this downside of like being able to miss that Rushing Jade Wind didn't have. So even when special delivery was numerically better, it still often wasn't picked because of that. That's no longer the case as of like, I think Shadowlands, it will always hit its primary target. Even if the primary target moves out, it's just the AOE that it does depends on what else is still in that location.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, it's like, I have fond memories of, you know, doing Nighthold and just like drinking so much Iron Skin Brew that I had 10 minutes of Iron Skin Brew and, you know, kegs falling from the sky all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's very fun. I like
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's super cool. Yeah. And we'll see if it seems like they're making changes. I mean, there's a bunch of other class changes. They seem very much like single ability focused. So they're probably honestly just, to be fair, not putting everything in at once, just as they think they need to make changes to something, just dropping it into the build, which
I think that is good. Yeah. I think that is good, especially with stuff like, so again, special delivery, we have to update the APL. The initial sims that Peo did indicated that special delivery was still worse, but then, you know, he dug into it and was like, oh, it's still worse because it's like energy starving now without the Rushing Jade Wind time on GCDs.
Yeah.
So now it's like delaying and it's losing like 25% of its keg smashes. And so now, you know, we got to get that fixed and then we run it again and we'll see how it comes out. I might work on that this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
But yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. And then, so that's good. Yeah. And then, like I said, other sort of some class changes in there. So, nice that they got ahead of that, getting this out there in terms of like giving us this list. And then, yeah, you're right. So they did put in a bunch of quality of life stuff. So we can kind of go through it if you had some particular highlights. I pulled out some of the stuff that I thought was somewhat important. But I don't know if there's anything specific you wanted to cover, and then we can sort of just make sure we hit all of the ones I had. So
I'm going to pull up the patch notes on stream. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's actually a lot here for being, you know, a half patch, a 0.5 patch. So first off, this one that really just always annoyed me, and I'm glad they're fixing it. So the Redeemed Souls quests that you had to like go around in the maw and like, you know, you killed the rock and then there was a soul and you clicked the soul.
Yeah.
Now rescuing souls from Torghast counts for that. I don't know why it didn't in 9.0. I mean, I have a guess as to why, but I don't know why it didn't in 9.0. Small thing, but pretty big, because that means that now by doing Torghast, you also naturally complete those. That's good for Renown catch up because you get that done for free. It's good for catching up your Covenant Sanctum because now that quest is also going to be repeatable. So you can just like do Torghast, which we'll also get to. Actually, we can just Torghast now gives the full amount of Soul Ash and Soul Cinders from every run. There is no longer a weekly cap.
Yeah, which is really cool.
So that means that now there's like, you can literally, this is something that people have been asking for in general in WoW for a long time, is like, it's okay to have the grind. It's okay even to have some time-gated grinds, but having everything be weekly lockouts and daily resets and that kind of thing really like grinds on you, you know?
Yeah.
So being able to like take a weekend and be like, I'm going to grind Torghast for 3 hours today and just like blast it out, get a bunch of redeemed souls, get a bunch of soul ash and soul senders. And then I don't have to worry about doing Torghast for the next month because I did it already. That's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, to be fair, the numbers here, they actually almost doubled it, right? So you go from like 500 a week or whatever you would get to almost 1,000 if you just did two runs, right? But now it's, of course, it's also repeatable indefinitely. So technically you just essentially double the amount of soul, in this case soul cinders, you get each time you run, you know, a Torghast swing, which is
right. So that's
which is crazy.
significantly increased the amount of soul cinders awarded. So yeah, that's like basically doubling it. That's great. One of the annoyances I have had with the legendary system, like the legendary system, I think in Shadowlands is mostly good.
Yeah.
Couple annoyances. One of them is the rate at which you can acquire the currency that you need to craft a legendary, because it means that you really are limited in how many legendaries you can build. There's all these other ones that might be interesting to you, but you just can't use them because you don't have the currency. Or right. Well, nowadays you can use them at 235, which is good enough for me, but a lot of people hate using ones that aren't like maxed out.
Yeah.
That's nice. Also, increase the drop rate of Shards of Domination. Nobody's rating on PTR. We don't know what the number actually is right now. But
hopefully it just means you get the gems in like a full clear.
Yeah, I would expect it to be like tuned around completing all or getting all 9 gems in around 2 raid clears.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then the odds of you having the gems in order to complete a set in a single clear, any set, are very high, because all you have to do, as long as you get 7 gems, you're guaranteed to be able to turn on at least 5. I don't remember. It's 6 or 7 gems. You're guaranteed to be able to complete the set. And you're very, if you get 5, you're very high odds to have one set complete that you can use. Being able to like pretty much guarantee that you're going to have a set that you can use in 2 weeks is good. That would be my guess as to where they're targeting it.
Yeah. It's good for alts too, right? Like, I think a lot of these changes, you know, are, people are saying, oh, it's great quality of life stuff, but I think it's more just like alt stuff, right? It seems like
one of those things, like right here, you can buy a 500 gold, which is nothing. You can buy Renown 40 on an alt.
Yeah, which is super cool. Yeah. Which I think, to be fair, like as we look at this, right? Like, I feel like this is almost something that Blizzard should look at in terms of like, at a certain month, whatever that ends up being, or week after a patch, right, start to add systems like this, regardless of hot fixes, right? So like, take the idea of saying like, look, you have to have a, like doing unlimited, like having unlimited soul cinders at the launch of 9-1 is not, I don't think, the answer, because then basically you have your max level legendaries in a week or in a day, right? Through grinding. So I think there has to be some sort of gating there, but do it more like maybe having it cap out like your conquest caps or valor caps, but after like week 3 or 4, just remove the cap or make the cap like 1 million, right?
So one of the things they could do as well, so the way they released the Torghast, where you've got like layers 8 through 12, so layer, or this tier was 9 through 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, first week 9 came out, then 10, then 11, then 12, and then basically make it like a quest turn in from doing, you complete layer 12 and now you can do it infinitely. So
that's,
you
know,
a month into the patch, you can do it infinitely. It's just built into the patch, you know. So then there's not as much pressure to get your grind on, you know, week 1. But then you know going in, like, okay, I don't really have to stress about missing a week here, because if I miss a week here, then in 2 weeks I can just make it up by doing an extra Torghast run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if they time it too, we're like doing that first layer or whatever that ends up being, right? Doing that layer 12 that week also gives you the amount of currency you need to make your first legendary. You don't have to then like continually do it. You just say, hey, I'm only ever going to use one legendary at max level. Yeah. So yeah, I have it all there. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. But the renown catch up is nice too. Coupled with the fact that you don't have to do the campaign quests anymore. Is like,
oh,
really,
God, yes.
Yeah, it's like a really good change in terms of like skipping ahead on alts in certain cases. Or catching yourselves up with certain covenants, right? If you want to collect what they have.
So I've complained before about in Final Fantasy not being able to quest for experience on alt jobs. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. I do like questing. I want to do questing. But I also like the experience of the campaign quests in WoW has really highlighted for me that they probably made the correct decision in not having questing be, at least from the main story quest, be like the main way that you level alternate jobs. Because I don't think it actually works out as well as it did in my head.
That's fair.
I still would like to do it, because it has been like 3 years now since I've done some of the story quests in Final Fantasy, and 3 years on, you know, I'm okay going back and redoing it. I kind of would like to do that. But doing it multiple times in a single patch so I can level another job or another class, you know, whatever, not ideal.
Seems a bit rough. Seems a bit rough for sure. So lots of, at least, yeah, those are some quality of life items. They also added another quality of life item is you can now purchase Korthi armaments for specific gear slots.
So, this is so good. Oh my God. I spent 30,000 Stygia trying to get a shield on my warrior ult.
Yeah, I spent about 25 or 27,000, right? Probably around the same amount trying to get the trinket, right? The Tome of Insight trinket. So, yeah, I mean, this is another solid sort of just like you can target the specific piece you want. You don't have to sort of like, you know, beat around the bush, whatever that ends up being, or like figure it out. So, yeah. So, another sort of solid, I guess, solid quality of life change in terms of like being able to target specific gear pieces.
Yeah. The variance on that was so big too, because there were what, like 12 different pieces you could get from it. And like my paladin got a shield first try. So I just like, I got the shield, I ranked it up to like 226 or whatever the easy one to get to was. And that was that. That was a nice like 30 eye level upgrade. Yeah. Then I spent 30,000 Stygia on my warrior trying to get a shield. Eventually got one. And like at that point, it actually was a 40 eye level upgrade for my warrior, because my warrior just in general could not get shield drops.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it was like the variance on that was really, really high and frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is sort of another, again, quality of life piece that's coming in. So I think you purchased them with Stygia, which I think you can pass Stygia between characters now.
You can do that. There's also something pro tip. If you have a bunch of level 60 ults like I do, you can park them next to one of the caches near the raid that respawns every day. And it gives you a account bound item that is 250 Stygia. So I just had like six characters that I would log into, and that got me basically two tries every 3 days without actually doing anything besides like logging in and logging out.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, it was really annoying though, waiting, like just trying to, like I got the, you know, boots or whatever like four or five times before I got the shield. It's just it no me gusta.
Yeah So it's funny. So there, it seems like there's you purchased them with Stygia, so should be an easy way to gear up alts, at least like item level 200. Along with Stygia too, they added in anima passing between alts now too. So you can create anima items to pass large amounts of anima between characters. Again, nice little quality of life as they sort of remove a lot of the restrictions. Because coupled with this, right, they've also said like the Souls quest, right, which I think right now is probably the limiting factor for a lot of people as they start new characters in leveling up their Covenant Sanctum, is like Souls now being sort of a repeatable quest.
Yeah.
You can just boot power boost a lot of your alts, which is a lot of fun. With a lot of this stuff. And then the final...
I think we were both going to talk about the same thing. The most important quality of life change.
Yeah, the warlock item.
The gateway control shard.
Yeah, which essentially... So for folks who aren't aware, in a lot of fights, we use gateways, particularly in Mythic, to like quickly move from one position to the other. So you use it to like bait certain abilities and sort of move the raid out of the way, like Veil on Sylvanas is a really good example, not only in phase one, but in phase two on the bridges. You use gateways like that. You also use them on Painsmith to like jump over spikes when there wasn't a hole in the spikes. We still use them too to group everybody up at the end of a certain spike or at the end of intermissions anyway. And the way that you usually do this is it's very difficult to click a gateway in the middle of a raid while a bunch of other people are also trying to click said gateway and running at it. So use this idea of basically being able to focus the gateway. So if you use a focus macro, basically just like slash focus at mouse over, put your mouse over the gateway, click the keybind to focus it. And then there was another thing in keybindings that allowed you to interact with mouse over, which essentially just meant you'd hit that keybinding while your mouse was over the frame, your focus frame, to then instantly use the gate. It was a convoluted way of doing it. It also removed your ability to focus anything else if you still use that. So what they've done is they've added an ability, or sorry, added an item that essentially allows you now to interact with the closest gateway to you. So basically, like, you just sort of can, you can now keybind just the item to something, drop it on your action bars, right? And you just smash it and it'll interact with the closest gateway. They did, I read a couple of folks sort of testing it out. It's generally always the closest gateway portal to you, as long as it's in range. If two gateways are on top of each other, though, it basically picks a random one. So,
which, if you have two gateways on top of each other, I don't know what you're doing, but it's probably not going to work anyway. Because trying to, like, mouse over focus that is, you're going to get a random one anyway.
Yeah. So, so definitely, I mean, this has been around for a while. Like, I remember using this in the first time I really ever used it was in early BFA, which was for the Mithrax, right? We needed to jump between the the stones or the rocks, but it really came into its own, like Nyalotha, like Carapace. You'd use it to quickly get down the tunnel. Even on Nazoth a little bit, if you had to move quickly in terms of like at least the psycho phases or the downstairs phases, right? And then it's been used a bunch of times here in BFA, or sorry, in Shadowlands. So yeah, this is a nice, actually this is great. It just seems, just wondering, it's so weird that they've literally created this sort of idea of ways people do these fights just by their fight design, and now they're giving us an item to like essentially say like, yeah, this is how you were supposed to do it. But it's just, yeah, it is a great idea.
This really cements Warlock as like the one always required class for virtually every, as if they weren't already because of health stones, but you know, required basically every single time. I'm like, we used gateways extensively on the only fight in recent memory that we haven't extensively used gateways. I guess the only two fights are Jaina, the only end fights, Jaina and Argus.
I remember Argus. Argus, because you're kind of moving around the room, so you didn't really have a set.
You moved like, in a big circle together.
Yeah. You never said
there was the problem. Like, did people gateway out to break the chains?
No, because you could, because the room would fill up in a lot of cases. You might have pre-placed them, but like you would have been clicking it. You wouldn't have pre-placed them. You would have placed them as you move. So generally we just ran. Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to focus and do it. Argus and Jaina makes Jaina. I'm trying to remember if we ever gateway. I mean, we would gateway down the tunnel, I feel like, to after you kill the water elementals and come back down. We sometimes gated, but you didn't really need to. You could just walk down that. So
we just walked.
Yeah. So, but warlocks are probably required, you know, one of the classes, which I'm fine with. I mean, like you also require priests, right, for stam and mages for int. So there's like certain classes I think you're always going to bring. So,
right. But I mean, like those, the raid buffs will come and go. I would not be surprised if by the time all is said and done, we lose the raid buffs again.
That's true.
But I don't think that they will ever remove Demonic Gateway. They're faced with the option of like either make it easier and nicer to use or redesign it somehow so that you can't use it like that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, so that'll be a fun item to sort of mess around with and see how they do it. I guess the only other minor quality of life thing is you now fly when you're dead in zones where you can fly normally, which I guess is sort of a minor cool. If you die in like Revendreth, you can fly to get your body back.
Yeah, it has come up for me before. There are certain zones that have flying ghosts. Like if you die in Ice Crown, you can always fly there. Actually, even if you didn't have flying, you could fly there. But then there's also stuff like, none of the BFA zones had flying while dead. So if you died at like the top of a mountain that you flew up to, you know, you had to walk there or take resurrection sickness.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is sort of, I guess, just a quick little quality of life thing. Cool. All right. Maybe we go back to the top of the notes, which is a little bit, right, I guess the last item before we get into the main topic today. And we're a little bit slightly behind here, but they did finally put onto PTR the AOE cap changes. So basically a bunch of people did some testing. So just so to catch folks up, previously you had sort of two hard caps in terms of AOE. You had, I think it was 5 and 8 target, and then a handful of things are still uncapped. But in general, it was like a 5 target AOE cap, which meant if you hit any mob above 5, it just didn't do damage to that additional mob. So if you had 6 mobs in a pack, one of them wouldn't get hit. So what Blizzard has basically said is that they're implementing essentially reduced damage to the 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever over cap mob is, right? In terms of the damage done to all the mobs in there. So while I put up a post really sort of detailing out sort of the math behind it all, and basically like the way it works is it'll reduce damage, it looks like, on all targets in the clump. So if you hit 6 targets, you're going to do reduced damage across those 6. So I guess the idea is that it sort of brings back the ability to evenly distribute DPS across multiple mobs. So that you're not essentially like killing one thing higher just because in terms of AOE caps, it decided that one mob was never going to be hit, right? So they did a bunch of number stuff. Basically like up to the current caps, like up to 5 target or 8 target cap, soft cap, sorry. Damage is exactly the same in terms of damage done. And then it's sort of a slow reduction as you get up to, I guess, WoW, it only tested to 20 targets.
Right. So once you start hitting 20, there's another AOE cap that's actually been in the game since MoP.
Yeah.
They call it meteoring because it first really showed up with Fire Mage's meteor.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, once you hit 20, it always starts splitting damage. It stops doing increased damage. It just splits for the most part. So they only tested up to 20 because at 20, this other effect kicks in on everything, even if it's uncapped.
Right. Right. So yeah. So I mean, it's a good just data to see. I mean, it seems like in general you're going to end up doing like it's a slow roll down to like doing essentially no damage, but the initial bump down isn't too extreme, right? It's like a 10,
yeah,
between like 10 and or I guess 9 and like or 6 and 9% damage reduction, right, on like the 6th or 9th mob in the pack that you're doing. So it's not a huge drop down as you sort of get to that 20 target list. So you'll spend a lot of time in doing like the 60, like 55 to 65% damage, like reduced damage to mob, like to pack sizes around the like the 12, 13, 14, 15 range, which is where I think a lot of those packs hit, right? You'll start to see like that probably being the MDI piece.
I think in a lot of pugs, you will see 8. 8 comes up a lot. That's like 2 packs pulled together, typically around 4 mobs in a pack. And so you're going to run into 8 a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which meant that the target capped at 5 classes previously would be real unhappy.
Exactly.
The more MDI style stuff, yeah, more like 15.
Yeah.
And even there's pulls like, you know, in the Ardenwield wing of the other side, there's a bunch of stuff in there that you can safely pull together, even in the pug. Like I've pulled, 15, 20 mobs in there before.
Yeah.
Because like the stags are really safe to pull together with the moths and with the whatever imp things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the birds. Birds are their own special where like you can pull the birds safely with other things, but you can't pull the birds as safely with other birds. It's really, I think that's really interesting, but there's just, you can do big pulls in different places, but I think in a lot of pugs, being able to hit 8 and not like completely tank your damage is good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, all in all, it's a good change in terms of like, everybody wants to pull a little bit bigger, everybody wants to do a little bit more damage. And I think it's understandable that Blizzard wants to somewhat limit it, but I think turning it all the way off or having the hard cap wasn't ever really going to be a good answer to it. So good on them for figuring something out, a solution to it. And I think sort of maybe get the best of both worlds in this area. So
yeah.
So we'll see some more testing probably as this goes on, maybe a little bit more in the terms of like the tweaks. But right now wow, it's got all the data in terms of like the actual formula and then what it looks like in terms of like damage reduction as you add remove mobs from those packs. So so cool. And so anything else before we sort of segue a little bit? Because the final point on my list was sort of our segue into like sort of the new stuff. Yeah.
We are getting new teleporters from Venari, and by teleporters I mean flight points from Venari to the raid.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Which will be
so
awesome.
No longer will we have to do things like we have people in my guild that are like doing glider shenanigans to like get over the raid. Some of them are like dying intentionally closest to the graveyard for the raid, so that then they release spirit and just like use the res there and walk to the summoning stone. Meanwhile, I'm over here like just walk, you guys. Like half of you have tank specs anyway. Just walk.
Yeah,
but.
I do some weird shenanigans where I run up some rocks to the, I take the Beast Warden's portal, and then before you go into that area, there's like a bunch of rocks that go up to the left of it, and I run up there and then I glide her down, which like seems like the easiest way, not having to die. So yeah, no, that'll be good.
Literally just go to the Beast Warden's, get on my mount, and press W, and like, I don't see the issue.
It takes so long to swap specs and stuff. I just, just never want to do it. So, but cool. So lots of quality of life stuff in 9.15. And it seems like hopefully it'll be a good patch. We'll see how it gets there.
This is definitely like, I don't think there's any way this doesn't get received as one of the best 0.5 patches like ever. Especially with some of the other stuff that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, no, for sure. So cool. And then I guess so that's it. We'll sort of now segue into our next topic, starting with maybe something that doesn't seem to make too much sense, but I'll sort of weave it in. I think I have a way of weaving it into to the topic about old new content. So 8 years ago, actually the 10th, so it would have been 2 days ago, Siege of Orgrimmar released, which is, to be fair, one of probably the best raids that they've ever put together, and probably one of the better patches that they ever put together. So Siege introduced a bunch of new stuff. MOP in general, I think, is sort of like the, what I would consider like the modern version of WoW. So it took you from like the Wrath of Lich King into fully like having daily quests and having the world change with the story as you go through an expansion. And then like the fight design sort of stepped it up, I think, from here. You know, Lich King was a really good fight to sort of end, you know, Wrath on, but then you end up with, you know, this. I guess Kata would have been the other one before this, right?
Yeah.
I forget But Kata was, I mean, you had Deathwing, which is an awful fight. But yeah, so you had MOP, I think probably the best expansion, at least in my opinion. Not that just it added monks, but there's a ton of really good fights here, like top three, top four fights ever. But this was Siege's release. So you got Siege, you got Timeless Isle, which they still to this day are trying to like build things on the Timeless Isle sort of formula. And they also introduced Flex Mode.
Closest they've come to Timeless Isle, I would say, in my time playing, is been Mechagon. That's the closest that they came to recapturing it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so it's just a great patch that came out. And I would really like to go back and do Siege. It's funny, at the time, people made fun of it because Siege was, I think, it was a year plus long. I think it ended up being 13 months. Before we got the next expansion, but yeah, it was a good time. So 8 years ago, Siege of Orgrimmar patch launched, and I think the rest is history.
Man, eight years of like flex rating, how long? That's wild. Yeah. It's crazy how we went from like prior to that you need, you know, exactly, you know, 10 or 25 players, to then having flex, and then, you know, that transition to normal and what's now heroic, having, you know, flexible raid sizes all the time.
Oh yeah.
Which is such a huge thing. Like being able to raid when you have like, you know, 23 people instead of 25.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. And then they took that same scaling, right, and put it in the real world, or like it's the open world, right? So now you can every, all like mobs now scale based on like you can level, it don't have to be the exact same level as somebody, which I think is super cool too. But yeah, that was Mist patch 5.4, right? Yeah. But cool. So thinking about old content, right? So there was a bunch of stuff data mined and also sort of announced too with 9.15, right? And one of the biggest things at least what that was announced, right, was the fact that they're bringing back Legion Mythic Plus, which is cool. Like it's cool that as a part of the time walking events with Legion, you can now do Mythic Plus. I think the first time it's like a 2 week long event, but then like every subsequent one will be about a week long, which I don't know if I agree with, but we can talk about that. But yeah, they're bringing back essentially Legion Mythic Plus. You can do Mythic Plus in Legion alongside, you know, Shadowlands Mythic Plus, which I think is really cool. I think the idea of like, so what, how I wanted to sort of structure this was sort of just talk about like Blizzard sort of reusing old content. People sort of get maybe somewhat upset about it, but I think that you built a bunch of this stuff. Like one, it's a weird thing where people get somewhat upset or have somewhat negative opinions of like, oh, we're just going back and redoing Legion, like Mythic Plus, it's the same, it's whatever. And then you get this idea of people being like very upset with Blizzard, like throwing out systems, which I know they're kind of different in terms of content versus systems. But the idea is like, hey, if Blizzard, you want them to sort of build something and reuse it expansion to expansion. Maybe it's not the systems that they reuse. It's like they leave a system in an expansion, you can go back and visit it when you want. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that's sort of one of the topics or one of the comments I had was that like, I think Legion Mythic Plus is a cool step in a direction where maybe Blizzard starts to look at expanding time walking to not be like this event based thing and more of just like, hey, time walking in some form or fashion is always available. And maybe there is a rotation, right? Like you can't always do Legion Mythic Plus because maybe people get burnt out on that, but maybe time walking becomes like a, I guess another system, another feature, right? Where you can just go back and revisit like, hey, it would be really cool to do like, gosh, what was the, like, what was the, still MOP, the one with Lei Shen at the end, that raid? Shoot.
Oh, Throne of Thunder?
Yeah, so it would be fun to do like Throne of Thunder at appropriate gear levels, right? Like in-game, like not having to like change your gear, like, you know, like sort of cheese it or sort of level yourself down, right?
I think that's one thing that is one of my complaints for a long time has been how all of this old content is just, it's completely inaccessible. Like, yes, you can go back and do Throne of Thunder, but unless your definition of doing Throne of Thunder is walking through it and one-shotting everything and seeing like the boss's death yell, you're not really doing the raid. And like, it would be nice to be able to go back and like, oh, I wouldn't mind, like, it would have been fun after we cleared Nyalotha if we had had like, you know, Throne of Thunder or something for the like 8 months after we cleared that raid or whatever to go and, you know, fuck around in. And even stuff, this is also a complaint to a degree within an expansion, because there was a whole raid tier that we just didn't do on Mythic or mini tier. You know, we didn't do Crucible of Storms because we just like, where we finished Jaina was a miserable fight for my raid team. 400 pulls, absolute shit show, and people were so demotivated that like we spent like a night trying to do Mythic whatever the first boss of that instance
Cabal
was
or whatever,
Mythic Cabal, and people were just like, no, I don't want to do more progression right now, I want to go farm. So that's like that, and the reason we couldn't go back and do that is because of gear scaling. Like, gear scaled in a way that we literally could not go back and do the raid, or it would have been somewhere between a complete joke and completely impossible. because of push timers and doing too much damage and all of that. So I would love, they have this thing now, you can level sync down to do questing. You mentioned this earlier, you can level sync down to do questing with a friend. So even if you're different levels, you can go and quest, do world content with a friend. I would love for them to take yet another page from Final Fantasy and introduce eye level syncing. Like, I would love to be able to go back and like do those old raids that we missed.
Oh yeah.
Like,
and it's all it's all sitting out there too, which is like, I sort of draw a little bit of the parallels, and this is something that Destiny, so I play a little bit of Destiny 2, right? And something that they struggle with in terms of like having a live game where like you continually add more and more content to, right? Which makes sense because you want to create stuff new, but then you have all this backlog, like this catalog of things that just sit there. And so what they ended up doing is doing this thing where they called like sunsetting. All right, maybe that's I forget the way they termed it, but basically what they ended up doing is like the current content's the current content, but all the old zones and things, they basically like remove them from the game for a period of time. They vault them. And they bring out like maybe one or two each time they do go through another season or another expansion.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. I actually, when they announced Legion Mythic Plus, I pinged Ian on Twitter and was like, "Hey, can we get Legion Mythic Plus for like a whole season?" And I'm like, I don't know, maybe you could do BFA Mythic Plus the season after that. You know,
I
think that would be great.
It would be a nice change of pace, right? In terms of like, not change of pace, but in terms of like, hey, if you want to engage in this or do this old stuff. And I guess the second part of this is what's the reward for it. But at least to like bring it back and be able to do it, I think it is fun, right? In Destiny's case, right? Like they have like a Diablo-like loot system, right? Where you just try and, it just drops with random affixes or random, you know. So for them, it's easy just to be like, hey, current light level stuff or current item level stuff will drop out of the old stuff.
Yeah.
It's easy. For WoW, it's a little bit different, right? In terms of like how
that's stuff. They couldn't, for example, they couldn't bring back Hellfire Citadel as a raid with the loot as is just scaled up to current item or down as it were to current eye levels because there are trinkets in there that broke the game. And you literally just couldn't do it. It would completely invalidate all the other trinkets in whatever expansion they brought it back in.
Right. Right. Which is why I guess the other side of this news that's interesting to me is that the team, I guess WoWhead or everybody sort of data mined essentially recolors of tier 20, which would have been the Tome of Sargeras set, which would have been sort of a part of Legion and things like that. So I think the idea with Blizzard, and I don't, it sounds like what they're going to end up doing is basically offer cosmetic rewards in place of like actual power increases for probably engaging with the time walking systems, right? Which makes sense. I mean, like, to be fair, like, I don't know if old content, I don't know if I'm on board with saying old content should offer any sort of power in terms of like your individual player.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't offer some level of reward, people are just,
not
going to engage in it, right?
There are people that will engage with it even if it only has like intrinsic rewards, like they want to overcome the challenge on their own, but they are definitely the minority. And with group content, you need a way to get the majority in there to do it with those people.
Right, exactly.
That's just how people work, unfortunately. We do know that Legion Mythic Plus is going to have, like, it's going to drop relevant eye levels. I'm trying to remember. I think they said you won't be able to get items from Legion Mythic Plus from your vault. But the end of dungeon rewards are going to be the same eye level as Shadowlands Mythic Plus and can be upgraded with Valor.
Which is cool.
But they're also, like, there are some trinkets that we talked about, like Writhing Heart of Darkness for tanks, that have already been nerfed. As part of this, like, trinkets I think are the main issue. Though I'm still like fingers crossed for relics coming back in these Legion keys, and like I want to pull out Fuzan with like triple 140 or 246 relics or something.
Be ridiculous. I think that'll be the one thing as they sort of look at maybe expanding the system is like having the ability to like gear swap or like keep gear relevant in that instance, right? So if you want to use one of those broken overpowered trinkets, you could, but it would only work in like the Legion Mythic Plus content or like the XX expansion content.
I would honestly almost rather them like try and bring those trinkets in line with the rest of the game. Something like Writhing Heart of Darkness, they literally nerfed that trinket every single tier in Legion. Every single tier, they nerfed the scaling on it because it scaled too high. You know, at one point around Tomb, it was like 16% damage reduction or something from a single trinket slot. That's just insane. And so they nerfed it over and over again. I'm okay with that. But I also think that only makes sense if they are giving something closer to like season-long access.
Yeah, yeah.
Mythic Plus. Like, if it's a 1 week event, not getting your, you know, best in slot trinket that only comes from Legion time walking during a week long event is not fun.
It's not going to feel good. Yeah. 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 That would have been my comment. It's like the only way they do that, I would say they do that, is if it's like a permanent fixture, right? Like you can jump in whenever you want. Right.
But I do think, like, give us a season of Legion Mythic Plus in addition to Shadowlands Mythic Plus. Like, I barely do Mythic Plus as it is, but give me a season. Give me a season where I can go and do Court of Stars.
That's true. Yeah, I guess for me, I don't know. I feel like I don't know how Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy would be the other one that's one of the things I always hear about Final Fantasy, is like the old content can, like, it can still be done at max level, right? Or like can still be done.
Yeah, there's limitations and quirks. So I've actually done some of the scaled content. Mm-hmm. Like, so they have a button you can push when you enter an instance, basically, with a pre-made group that says, you know, sync our eye levels down to, it's called, like, there's a min eye level scaling button that puts you at the minimum recommended eye level for that content.
Okay.
So this is like where you could queue into it with the Dungeon Finder kind of eye level, absolute minimum. And it works. You can kill stuff. We went back and did a Realm Reborn, so like 2.0 raids, basically, mm-hmm. with some people from Brew Lounge a couple years ago, and had a good time with that. But there are limitations to it, because as part of the scaling, it levels you down as well. So you lose abilities. And that also means that because they redistribute the abilities across the leveling experience, that means that sometimes you lose important buttons that you would have had if you were doing it or like back in 2.0. Stuff like being missing important tank cooldowns. But the way the scaling works is it ends up being okay anyway, because inflation and general power of the classes kind of makes up for it. Gotcha. So it was largely okay. It's not a perfect system. Not at all. Yeah. But it does, like, we went back and we did Garuda. We got most of the way through whatever the Earth guy's name is. I don't remember.
Never played the game.
Titan, that's it. And that's right. The issue with Titan is, so you have infinite battle reses in Final Fantasy. It's really just limited by when you die, you have a permanent or semi-permanent, like, damage reduction, health reduction effect. So dying's still bad, but you can just res people over and over again. You can't do that on Titan, because the main way you die is you get knocked off the edge and your body does not go back up on the platform.
Oh, that's not good.
No infinite battle reses. But we got, like, all the way to the Enrage and just, like, needed to, like, clean things up a little bit to be able to actually finish it. And then, what was it? 8.2 came out. And we
gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, because I think that would be, I mean, that sounds interesting. And that would probably be something that WoW has to sort of maybe refine and get better at, is sort of, what happens to things you were expecting when you did the content at level, like classes to have certain things or certain abilities to be able to do certain stuff, right? Because, like, how far back could you go, right? Like, I mean, I think it would be fun if they spent some time revamping that, because I think it would take, I don't think it's something you could just flip on and off for them, like copy paste or enable it or whatever, but I think it would be a cool thing that they could investigate, sort of, you know, offering us the ability to go back and do, like, dude, I would do Lei Shen every week, like, at appropriate item level, because that fight was just so much fun to do. And
so here's the thing. So something I mentioned in a previous podcast episode is that I would love for them to do more of the mini raids where, like, you know, we've got a Trial of Valor Trial of Valor, really the more appropriate tuning level, I think, than Crucible of Storms for a raid team like mine. Although I think my raid team is at a point now where if we were in BOD again, we actually would have been able to do good progress on Crucible. But anyway, I do think that, like, I would like to have, like, in these 0.5 patches, some additional raid content. Because, like, we're on track to finish Sylvanas before 9.1.5 comes out.
Yeah.
Without too much issue. What do you think of, instead of doing mini raids, they did remaster raids? Like, in a 0.5 patch, you know, hey, you know, this time around, you know, and even for some of the larger raids, they might have to break it up. Like, this time around, it's this wing of Hellfire Citadel, or it's this wing of Throne of Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, over the course of the expansion, you get like an entire remaster of Throne of Thunder or something.
But it's like piecemealed out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like three bosses at a time.
That would be interesting. I think the question that I would have is like, again, I always go back to like loot wise, like what's the incentive beyond just, hey, it's now appropriate, right? Because I know like my raid team in particular, they do the minimum in terms of, well, maybe not the minimum, but like most of the people that I play with are not like, hey, WoW's the only game I play type people, right? I do have like a handful, like probably more than, like probably like 7 or 8, 9, like probably like 7 or 8 people that I could say would do that. But then the majority are people that raid log, right? They log in, maybe get a mythic plus or two done. They'll hit mythic plus hard in the beginning of a tier, but like now it's just like a ghost town. So to get those guys to zone or just sign on for like, hey, instead of doing like Sylvanas, we're gonna do Lei Shen today, and like, oh yeah, Lei Shen just drops like a transmog item and maybe a melt, right? It's like cool. I do think so. But it would be cool, like large, gear thing.
By and large, most gear in WoW is boring, right? Like your chest pieces, your legs, your boots, they don't really matter. They're kind of interchangeable. Like a chest piece from Lei Shen is the same. Well, not this year, but the same as a chest piece from Sanctum in general.
Yep.
The real distinguishing things are like trinkets and weapons with special effects, and the oddball item that has a special effect on it that's not one of those two things. Mm-hmm. And I think if they leave those in, do a little bit of tuning, or even do like the half step eye level thing that they did with Crucible of Storms, where like it was a half tier up from like from BOD. So like if you went and did heroic Crucible, it could help, you know, guilds that were still progressing heroic Jaina, which weren't that many at that time, but you know, heroic only guilds exist, and you know, having something where, you know, you can go and you can do heroic part of heroic Throne of Thunder, get some half eye level step up, so like three bosses worth of heroic loot that's like Sylvanas eye level.
Yeah.
Would be neat.
That'd be cool.
Or you know, because I think it would be really kind of cool to be able to do that and be able to over the course of the expansion, because if they're going to retune it, I would hope they would do it in a way that like every tier that they could just like, okay, so 905, using Shadowlands as an example, 905, we get the first wing of Throne of Thunder or something, broken up kind of how the LFR wings were.
Yeah.
And it drops like eye level, you know, 233. And then the next, you know, 915, that goes up to 246 or whatever, or 252. And we also get the second wing. So then, like, you can go through and, like, do the fights again.
Yeah.
And if you already got it on farm, then it's, like, no big deal.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, and sort of fits in, like, all, because at that point, the difficulty is going to be people remembering how to do the mechanics, or, like, because the execution's already known. Like, I'd expect I wouldn't expect the fights to be different, but. Yeah, at that point, it's almost like you get sort of like what, like ranking up your gem, your well, I guess not this expansion, but or this patch would be like ranking up your Sanctum of Domination gems generally gives you slightly more power, right? To make things easier, and like, you know, getting additional loot from like your cat or your Great Vault and stuff like that, like all that type of stuff that sort of used to be based on like Valor points way back in the day, or original Valor points way back in the day, or like and then upgrading gear. And like MOP that they had, right? Like similar, you get a slight power boost. Yeah, that'd be cool. Particularly if it, I think it's maybe a little bit more work on them in terms of like adding items, but I think it would be an interesting way to like give yourself, like reuse some of that old stuff, go in and make it somewhat important or maybe somewhat not important. Like, you know, your world top 100 guilds aren't going to go in there and do it maybe once or twice just for fun, right? Just to see what it looks like. But
I know for a fact there are raiders in limit right now that did not do Throne of Thunder.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it'd be cool to go back and do that type of stuff. So, that was all. I think that was, really good ideas. And the funny thing is, as I'm sitting here and we're talking through this, I realized we actually just barely mentioned the reason that this conversation started, right? It started with Legion Mythic Plus.
Which is the Mage Tower data mining.
Which is, the Mage Tower data mining. So, like, the reason I guess this long form, like we talk about sort of reusing old content, is the fact that Blizzard, they're not Blizzard, but a bunch of data mining has data mined a lot of new teleport spells with late ID. So if you guys don't realize, everything in the game is ID'd in sequential order, generally speaking. And so as things come up with later numbers from a sequential ordering perspective, they're considered new. And so what Blizzard did, or what was data mined, was a bunch of teleport spells that sort of equate to the different areas and zones that came from the original Mage Tower scenarios, which Mage Tower was probably the last large, like, point or X.5 patch, right? The Mage Tower patch was fairly large in Legion, and added Mage Tower, which is a solo scenario. So it was a scenario done. There was probably like 5 or 6 different ones, but they equated more to your role than anything else. So like healers had their one. DPS
had one.
Tanks had one. And then there was 2 or 3. I guess Lincoln says there were 7.
So there were 7 total. So there are 5 different DPS ones.
4. Oh, yeah, 5. Yeah, 5. Sorry, you're right. I can't do math today. But yeah, so and that was, it was a cool bit of solo content you did. And really the only reward was you got a different skin for your legendary item. But it's honestly, to be fair, I think a lot of people say some of the best content that they've ever put in the game, because it was challenging enough at the time where you had to put in a concerted effort to do, and they put a couple of systems around it where you couldn't just like mass spam going in there. Like you had to, like, there's like a currency to get keys, which eventually you got enough from doing daily stuff that the keys didn't really matter, and it was hard enough that you wanted to go in with like flasks and food, and I remember trying to do it
in, I guess it would have been like heroic knighthold gear. And being like I started doing it on my brewmaster, like I level 190. I think I finished it around like 205 or, you know, 890 and 905, whatever the eye levels were in Legion.
Yeah, no, I think when I finally did, I don't remember the item level, but I know it was like the 3rd week after it was released is when I got it. And I remember like getting it and just being like, because it was such a cool, like, the reason I think Mage Tower was so cool was particularly because of how tightly tuned it ended up being, that like, I remember like getting to like the final phase, like the final stage of like the healer one. And like you fought a boss, there was like a bunch of movement stuff you had to do. And like the first time I did enough damage, so I ended up dying, just like the room filling up and killing me.
Yeah.
And like, you make like little mistakes. Like I remember like one pull, I was well ahead on DPS, but I made a mistake in the final room, got clipped by something the boss did, like some avoidable thing, ended up dying or falling enough behind. I think, and then like you'll hear stories of like, with the healer, when you had NPCs, it would help you do damage. Like somebody actually completed it, even though they died, because their NPCs did enough damage to like kill the boss for them.
Yeah.
So there's like, you hear all this stuff. And I think that was so cool at the time, because it was the first time they ever did it. And to be fair, I'm glad that they didn't just add something like this every expansion. Like there's a part of me that's like, I really would like to do it again and again and again. But at the same time, I'm also excited that like I got to do Mage Tower and experience that like at the time. Yeah. And I think if there was a Mage Tower every expansion, it sort of loses its like appeal, I guess, right?
I think there is more room for them to do that kind of solo progression content.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to look like the Mage Tower.
Yeah.
Because at least for me, like the Mage Tower, I spent, I don't even remember at this point how many pulls doing it on my monk, trying to get it before Tomb of Zargarus came out. And
yeah, I did like hundreds, like,
It was really cool. That was, I was not rating Mythic at the time, you know, clearing heroic is not quite the same kind of experience. At least the group I was in, it was like, we weren't clearing heroic the first week, but we were clearing it the first month.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
Yeah.
And ish. I don't remember actually how long it took us to clear Nighthold, but it was not like we had Gul'dan on farm before we were doing the Mage Tower. So like, I don't know. I do think there is room for more of that solo progression content of like, here's this really challenging thing for you to do solo. You have to do it solo. But then there's like this room for there to be communities like Beak of Serenity, where people come together and talk about like, hey, how are you doing this? How are you approaching this? How can I do this?
Yeah. And I think they tried, I mean, well, it's not solo. There is like solo progression stuff in your sanctum this expansion, but like I feel like they missed the mark on like, Yeah, that's the problem. Is it wasn't hard, and like the class, I mean, the big example is like the Kyrian one, right? Where like you literally had to like cheese it to beat it. So like it wasn't that it was too hard or difficult. It was just broken. Like it wasn't tuned right. It wasn't balanced right. And so I think in a lot of cases, like bringing back Mage Tower now would be cool. But I think that, to your point, I think they need to find a way of like building Mage Tower like activities into the game, like moving forward. And to be fair, I don't think, like, if I was them, the way I'd look at this is like, Mage Tower was not a release, like at release. It was like, what, the second patch of Legion, right?
It was released in 7.1.5.
Okay, so it was like after the first 0.1 patch, yeah, 0.x patch, yeah. So I think that's probably a good place for like stuff like this, where like you have like having it launched doesn't make sense because it's way too much. I think it's just way too much stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I think it loses its sort of appeal there. But yeah, I mean, I'd be fine, I think, if they brought back scenarios like this. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like
I think maybe sparingly. They would benefit a lot from more steady, frequent patches.
Yeah.
People going, oh, is this patch going to last a year? Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
Like, we should know, okay, we're going to get another patch in, 5 months.
Yeah.
And it's going to have something in it. I do think this is one area that I think the consistency of the Final Fantasy patch cycle is also a good thing. I don't think it needs to be as rigid as theirs, because theirs is like, okay, you've got a specific amount of time between each patch, and all the like the even numbered patches have raids in them. The odd numbered patches have kind of like the 0.0 versus 0.5 patches for WoW have not raid stuff in them, so they might have fishing updates or crafting updates or other like new stuff to do. That kind of like, but important, I think the important thing is the consistent schedule. Like,
yeah,
you know that this is coming out, and if they did something like every 4 months is a new patch, right? 4 months from 9.0 to 9.0.5, and then another 4 months from 9.0.5 to 9.1 is actually very close to what we actually got.
I think I think both of us have said this probably in some capacity now, like more frequent and probably just more structure, maybe not more structure, but I think more frequent patches is always a good thing, just in terms of changes, right? Because I think, to be fair, the game does get somewhat stale in like month 6 or month 8 of a patch, right? And I think, there probably needs to be some sort of shakeup, even if it's minor in between that. But yeah, I just don't know if WoW, I think the biggest problem with WoW is that they've essentially sort of tried to build themselves as like the, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but like the blockbuster movie, like summer movie. And like the idea is like every patch has to be something that's like, wow, this is crazy. And I don't know if that's the case. Like, I think if they sort of tempered it and just was like, hey, this is like quality of life updates patch, cool, like let's just run with it, right? Like the 915 stuff that's mostly like quality of life for alts could have been released like weeks ago, right? And like that would have been the focus of a shorter patch. Then you have like your 9.1.6, which is like all this like Legion time walking, maybe some of the bigger, more major changes, yeah. Right? So I think that, yeah, I think that to your point, they probably just need, I mean, maybe it's a better job of like giving us small incremental things that sort of, again, would have built up a typical 9.1.5 patch cycle. It's just, we maybe got some of it after 3 months, some after 4 months, and then the rest of it after like the 6 or 8 month that the actual patch cycle was.
I do think as well, like having Legion time walking in 9.1.5, it's going to be so big, I would honestly be shocked if it didn't come back like right away. Like, if we didn't get a hot fix 2 weeks after it went away, saying like, hey, it's back and it's up for the rest of season 2.
I think it'll drive a lot of, like, I think people enjoy going back at things they've experienced the first time, just sort of try and recapture that. And I think this is like an easy thing for them to like key on. Like I did this, like to this day I still go, like Destiny 2 added the Cosmodrome back, which was the original, was the opening zone of the original Destiny that you started in. I remember playing original Destiny, super cool. And like, to be fair, I loaded up Destiny 2 and like bought all the season passes for the last time they did, when they did this sort of like, they called it Beyond Light expansion, when they brought back a bunch of old zones and content and stuff like that, because I just wanted to re-experience it. I wanted to like walk back through that opening area and like redo it again. And like, yeah, I think it's just, it's an easy way to cash in. I think the problem is going to be like how often they do it, right? Like, yeah. Does Legion Time Walking stay forever now? And like, it's just right. another one of those
things. I
don't
think that's good. Yeah. I think like you run into this issue where if you've got too many different kinds of things people can do, people are too spread thin.
And right.
You can't actually do any one thing because there's not enough people interested in that one thing.
Exactly.
But exactly. I do think like bringing it back for like a larger block of time, like you were mentioning with Destiny, where they're like, you know, this zone is back for this season, you know, and then it's going to go away next season. We'll have a different zone that comes back. But don't worry, like if you missed it, it will eventually come back.
Like cycle back through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which good. Is yeah, which I think is cool. So, but yeah, I mean, Mage Tower coming back. I wonder what the rewards are going to be because I feel like the transmog
there's
stuff.
There's the tier 20 updates that you were mentioning earlier that are like speculated to it. I wouldn't be surprised if it also let people that missed Mage Tower the first time get their artifact appearance.
Yeah, which would be yeah, as long as they scaled it up and it was like similar difficulty. Yeah.
I would actually be really happy if, kind of tying into this, is pure speculation for what I'm about to say, is if they brought back the mop and wad dungeons as Mythic Plus at some point, and then like doing plus 20s gave you the challenge mode skins. Because you can't get those anymore.
Yeah, no, I'd be down for that. I think there's like people get unreasonably upset about that stuff sometimes, and to be fair,
I think fuck them.
To be fair, so I will tell you that I have a weird relationship with transmog in terms of like it essentially allows people to sort of show off gear that like maybe they got, like they just went farm, like yeah, like it gets them people to show off gear maybe they got it like by farming stuff like 3 years after it was current or like two expansions after it was current, right? But at the same time, I'm like, it's sort of like, if you want to do that, you can do
that's
that.
That's one of the things that I think is, well, like the Mage Tower had this too, where like if you went and did it during Antorus, like it wasn't a joke. Stuff could still kill you, but no, you know, it was going to take you 20 attempts maybe instead of 100.
I did all three Hunter specs at the time because I thought like I have a weird.
I mean, the only hard Hunter spec one was the survival one.
Yeah.
That was the only one that was even hard in the first place.
But I did all three Hunter specs and literally took me, I think I three shot the survival one and I think I two shot the other one just because I like watched a guide and then I overgeared the hell out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess if it's appropriate, the appropriate difficulty stuff, I think, yeah, it'd be cool. I mean,
yeah, like if they brought back the challenge mode stuff back is like basically instead of getting the teleport or in addition to getting teleports like you did back in the day, you would get the transmog like you did from completing the challenge modes. I think that would be cool. It would be totally like in keeping with it. And like, if people are going to get mad about like, oh no, my transmog that's been exclusive for half a decade. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Stupid bow transmog for my hunter.
I think actually, to be fair, as long as they didn't put it, like maybe I'd be fine with that. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's, transmog what you want. It'd be cool. As long as you still have like a similar difficulty to get it. It's like whether you got it
today. As long as it's not like if they turned on the vendor and they said, oh yeah, now you can just buy it for gold. Like that's kind of silly.
Yeah. Which
you can do with all the arena transmogs. And I think it's silly for similar reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But cool. Yeah. So maybe Mage Tower coming back, a lot of reusing old content. I think if this is something WoW goes down, like, and explores a little bit like the dev team in terms of like bringing back select things each expansion or like letting us go back even like mid expansion to go do older content that offers appropriate level rewards or just difficulty can be that. I think it's a cool avenue to add some variety to the game, right?
I mean, like the first cutting edge I got, the first like end boss I killed on max difficulty was Argus. So there's a lot of really good raids that we know are really good raids. Like, there's no question about whether these were good raids, even by modern standards, that I just haven't done by virtue of not playing at the time or not raiding at the time. And it's free real estate.
And the funny thing, it's hilarious how, like, two of the best raids ever are in MLP. Like, just thinking about that expansion was, like, so good at the time, was so, like, was universally, I think, like panned at the start because it was pandas and yeah. But yeah, no, there were some
pandas good, and dailies.
Like, yeah, pandas and dailies, which is like, to be fair, like dailies was a direct response to like Kata having nothing to do other than raid, right? And so like they added dailies, which is just but it added all that stuff. So I don't know. It'd be fun to go back and do those raids, particularly the MOP ones. Those should be first if I was choosing. So both, Siege, Throne of Thunder. I even to a lesser extent, Mogush and Volts. Like there was a couple interesting fights in there too. So all right, cool. So we are
the lore corner or the off-topic question.
Let's do the off-topic question because the lore corner is a little light, and I feel like maybe we could combine that with like all the different houses. Okay. So yeah. So yeah, so we'll skip lore corner this week just because light on time, and we'll go right into questions. So as always, Q&As, you can reach out to Emilson or myself, ping us questions, tweet at us, you can just yell at us in Discord, or you can yell at us live here if you're if you are live as we stream this.
I said hi Lincoln. Oh, he's not in chat anymore.
So we have one question today, comes from La Trappe. And they ask, thoughts on today's race, ? So race in this case is the Formula One race in Monza, which is in Italy. And then who is more dominant, Mercedes/Red Bull or Holy Paladin/Dispriest? So in terms of the race today, give quote folks who don't watch Formula One a quick background. There are two individuals that are fighting for the championship. One gentleman by the name of Max Verstappen and one gentleman by the name of Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton has won the last 7 world championships. Kind of a baller, dominant. Max Verstappen is a younger driver known for his aggression and is fighting for his first championship, essentially. And actually has a competitive car. I think the biggest thing for you to know, Mercedes is like the evil empire. Basically, they are just extremely dominant with a car that was seconds faster than the rest of the field, which in Formula One is unheard of. And this year, they're much closer in terms of performance. At any event, in today's race, Max Verstappen went for a gap on Lewis Hamilton. They collided in the corner and Max's car landed on top of Lewis's car. And they're both out of the race. And luckily Lewis unscathed. There was actually the rear tire on Max's car actually landed on Lewis's head or like his cockpit. So luckily they have this device called the Halo, which basically is like a bar that surrounds the top side of a driver. So like it took the brunt of the impact. But in any event, thoughts on that is, you know, I think at the end of the day, Max gets a 3-place grid penalty next race. So he gets wherever he finishes, he'll start 3 places behind that. Appropriate. He went for a gap that wasn't there, although Hamilton didn't leave him any space. So also, I'm a fan of Max and not a fan of Lewis. I will always side with Max in this case. But I mean, he was just, in general, overly aggressive. But, you know, it happens. They crashed. So, is what it is. I hope Max still wins. In terms of dominant, we have Mercedes and Red Bull versus Holy Paladin and Dispriest. To be fair, it's Holy Paladin and Dispriest are the much more dominant pair in this comparison, only because there has not been a race or raid where those two classes have not been brought in terms of world first racing or even just world first races or just in terms of general power. Mercedes and Red Bull both have bad tracks, both have the ability to crash out and be bad. Holy Paladin and Dispriest don't have that. They're always good, regardless. So definitely the more dominant pair in this case. So Emilson, I took that one just because
I realized it's also timely, like talking about today's race next weekend, not quite the same.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Holy Pound Dispriest, the much more dominant pair over Mercedes and Red Bull. They don't crash into each other.
Misweavers.
Poor Misweavers, poor Druids, poor Holy Paladins, poor, shamans are like warlocks in the context of like, somehow their utility is always
useful. Spirling Totem.
Spirling Totem and even like Windrush is very good, right?
Windrush is good, but you can bring an Elemental Shaman. An Elemental Shaman does not bring Spirling Totem.
That's fair. So, in any event, I think that's the episode. I think that's the questions.
I think we nailed it. That is the
barely under time, but we did it.
We made it. Even starting late, we made it.
That's true.
But that is going to be our show for today. Thank you all for watching and or listening, for the questions and the chat. And we will be back same time next week, hopefully not late. That's the show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it and you want to support what we do here and on Peak, all the guides and how the sims and everything that we do over at Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And if you can't or don't want to contribute to the Patreon, come join the Discord. Come hang out. Come help. Ask questions. Give answers. We had a bunch of white names, aka regular old people, doing some log diving when we had a log. I actually wanted to talk about this today, but forgot. We had a log where Brewmaster's Bone Dust Brew hit for 2.3 million. So they actually went through and figured out what was going on. And it's this weird interaction with, you have to specifically be running Hyremir, have a Blessing of Sacrifice up, and get a Bone Dust Brew proc at the same time. And this was on Guardian, where they were taking 5,000% increased damage from an extra Obliterate cast. And so they got hit for like 10 million damage. If they weren't running Hyremir, they would have just died and nothing would have happened. But because they were running Hyremir, they went into Forgeborn. And that meant that the Blessing of Sacrifice triggered to do damage to the Paladin. Then apparently Blessing of Sacrifice damage counts for Bone Dust Brew. And so in general, that's probably like a DPS gain to have a Holy Paladin cast sack on you while you have Bone Dust Brew up, because it's probably going to do okay damage. In this particular case, that meant that it sent, you know, 20% of the 10 million damage that he got hit for to the Holy Paladin. Obviously, the Holy Paladin, there's like a cap on how much damage they take from it. So they didn't like kill the Paladin, but the Bone Dust Brew proc then saw that 2 million damage and said, oh, 65% of that. And then it crit.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Regular old people, shout outs to Kate and Meshson and the others in Brewlogs that sorted all that out. That's really cool. Thank you for doing that.
Very cool.
But yeah, that's our show. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye.